Welcome to Bible Fellowship Assembly Sunday Morning Messages. Today, Steve Asawa explores the question, when and where was Jesus born? And now, here's Steve.
Good morning. Thank you very much to our musicians, and for the people in the back with the technology, for a wonderful opening. 2 weeks ago, we started looking at questions about Jesus the Savior. We started looking at questions about Jesus the Savior, starting with, what was the need? Last week, Jim looked at, who must it be? And this morning, I'm going to be looking at, when and where was Jesus born? If you were at the Christmas banquet a little while ago, you saw the trailer for the message this morning. I'm going to read some of the parts of the accounts of Jesus' birth from the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. They're both chapters 1 and 2, but just some of it. But as I read, I'd encourage you to note some of the details regarding Jesus' family, where and when he was born, and some references to prophecy. Before we start, let's pray. Heavenly Father, just pause and just thank you for your goodness and love. Thank you for this time when we could reflect and remember that you sent your Son as a human being to live, to die, to be buried, to rise again and conquer death on our behalf. Thank you, Father, for your Spirit. Thank you for your Word. And help us, Father, to open your Word just to learn something new and draw closer to you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So, if you have your Bibles and you are in Matthew chapter 1, it starts with the genealogy of Jesus. And we won't read through the whole genealogy right now, but I will note some things from verses 16 and 17. It tells us, Jacob fathered Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14. From David to the deportation to Babylon are 14. And from the deportation of Babylon to the Messiah, 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, since he was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had thought this over, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet would be fulfilled. Behold, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all the people were on their way to register for the census, each to his own city. Now Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was betrothed to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn. And when 8 days were completed, so that it was time for his circumcision, he was also named Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days for their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are letting your bondservant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them, and said to his mother, Mary, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and is a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And when his parents had completed everything in accordance with the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city of Nazareth. Now the child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Continue on in Matthew. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what is written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for from you will come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" After hearing the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went on ahead of them until it came to a stop over the place where the child was to be found. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And after they came into the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child with you and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night, and left for Egypt. He stayed there until the death of Herod. This happened so that what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet would be fulfilled, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged and sent men and killed all the boys who were in Bethlehem and all its vicinity who were 2 years old or under, according to the time which he had determined from the Magi. Then what had been spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted because they were no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Then after being warned by God in a dream, he left for the regions of Galilee and came and settled in a city called Nazareth. This happened so that what was spoken through the prophets would be fulfilled. He would be called a Nazarene. So just to give you a bit of context, this map shows a few of the places mentioned in the passages we just read. I had my low-tech pointer, and there's a problem with low-tech pointers sometimes. So up in the top, we'll try the high-tech pointer. So up in the top, we have the region of Galilee, and over here we have Nazareth. just by the Sea of Galilee. Down closer to the Dead Sea, the Salt Sea, we have Jerusalem, and just south of it is Bethlehem. And it's not on the map here, but Egypt is down this way. So, where was Jesus born? I'll give you four choices, and you can feel free to vote with your hands or not, as to which of the locations. Was he born in Nazareth? Was he born in Bethlehem? How about South Porcupine? Just for South Porcupine? Nobody wants to come back for classes after this? How about Nazareth? Okay. Well, there's only two left then. How about Bethlehem? Oh, I see lots of hands for Bethlehem. How about the City of David? I hear some, yep, okay. And the answer is the City of David, which is called Bethlehem. Perhaps you've read the passage in Luke's Gospel or heard it many, many times over. We have a cushion at our house. I don't know if you can read the yellow or not. It says, "For there is born to you this day in the City of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Oh, as an aside, in Bethlehem, we had the pleasure of going a few years back, and you could buy this nice olive wood nativity set. And it was only $25,000, I think, U.S. at the time, but needless to say, it's not here anyway. So where is the City of David, though? But it's Jerusalem, not Bethlehem, that's referred to as the City of David elsewhere in the Bible. So David's father, Jesse, was a Bethlehemite. It was in Bethlehem that the prophet Samuel anointed David to be king over Israel. Then David later served Saul, who was the king at the time, and Saul eventually tried to kill David out of jealousy. So David eventually moved to Jebus, or that's Jerusalem, and later he reigned as king for 7 years in Hebron, and then he moved back and was king in Jerusalem. So the City of David does refer both to Bethlehem and to Jerusalem. In Hebrew, Bethlehem is known as House of Bread, and I think that's very appropriate. That's the House of Bread is the birthplace of Him who was the Bread of Life. Now, I'd venture a guess that many people tend to picture Jesus' birth in some peaceful setting, perhaps under a quiet starlit night with Jesus resting in a wooden cradle. The Bible tells us, though, that he was laid in a manger, which was an animal feeding trough, because there was no room for them at the inn. Early Christian tradition notes that Jesus was born in a cave or a grotto. Some others think that it was in the lower level of a house where some of the animals were kept overnight. For those who still watch old-fashioned TVs, I guess they didn't check with Trivago before they left. They certainly didn't have any frequent fire points or frequent travel points to end up in the accommodations that they did. Constantine the Great had the Church of the Nativity built over the place where Jesus is believed to have been born, somewhere around 330 AD. And there's a 14-point star of Bethlehem that marks the place where the manger was located. So when was Jesus born? The Bible gives us all sorts of detail pointing to Jesus' birth, but it doesn't give us the exact date, does it? Jesus' birth, or what we call Christmas, was first celebrated by the Roman Emperor Constantine around 336 AD. At least that's what I was able to find out. There is, however, debate, as there is on many things, about the day of his birth. For example, some argue that December 25th is an arbitrary date that Constantine chose to provide a Christian alternative to pagan celebrations at the time. Some think that this time of the year would have been too cold for the shepherds to be out with their flocks. On the other hand, some believe that Jesus' conception occurred on the same date as his death, which is 9 months before December 25th. So Christmas is celebrated on December 25th in the Roman Catholic and the Protestant churches, January 7th in the Orthodox Church. But both are based on December 25th, with difference in date being the use of the Gregorian calendar that we use and an older Julian calendar, which results in Christmas being later on. Jesus was likely born between 6 and 4 BC, and scholars figure this one, because there's a record of a census which includes Judea around 6 BC, and Herod died in 4 BC. Now, I would be so bold as to suggest that the exact date isn't really that important. And by the way, shepherds could well have had their flocks out at that time of the year. He would have included in his word. God did, however, provide all sorts of detail around the events at the time of Jesus' birth. So what's important are the glimpses we see of his nature, of his character, a man who was meek and lowly. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was born in the most humble of circumstances. One of the ways that we know the Bible points to Jesus is by virtue of the many prophecies that he fulfilled. The mathematical possibility or probability of anyone fulfilling just a few of those prophecies is so incredibly high, so astronomically high, that it's impossible for anyone else in the world to have done this. You may have noticed some of the references to prophecies in the passages I just read. We'll just look at a couple of them. From Matthew 1, "Now all this took place so that was spoken by the Lord through the prophet would be fulfilled. Behold, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which is translated means God with us. And this prophecy is found in Isaiah 7:14 and was likely written somewhere around 700 years before Christ came onto the scene. From Matthew 2, "When King Herod asked where the Messiah was to be born, they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea,' for this is what's been written by the prophet." In Matthew 2:6 comes from Micah 5:2, "But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will come forth from me to be a ruler in Israel, for his times of coming forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity." Bethlehem was also known as Ephrathah, or Bethlehem Judah. Sorry, I can't even speak this morning. Bethlehem Judah in those days. And Micah not only notes Jesus' birthplace, but he notes that Jesus is eternal, and he notes that Jesus is going to rule in Israel. From Matthew 2:15, actually, if you go back a couple of verses in Matthew 2:13, "Joseph is warned by the angel of the Lord to flee to Egypt. So he gets up in the night and off they go. And we're told that he stayed there until the death of Herod. This happened so that what has been spoken by the Lord through the prophet would be fulfilled. Out of Egypt I called my son." And we recently went through the book of Exodus and recalled how God used Moses to rescue the Israelites and bring them out of Egypt. And now we have one far greater than Moses coming out of Egypt. "Then what had been spoken to Jeremiah the prophet, 'A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, because she refused to be comforted because they were no more.'" This one comes from Jeremiah 31:5. "And it came to pass when the Jews were conquered and taken into captivity, and then again in Jesus." And Jesus, who came to bridge the gap between people and God. Jesus, who came to comfort those who mourn and find themselves in challenging situations. Matthew 2:23, talking about Joseph, came and settled in a city called Nazareth. This happened so that what was spoken through the prophets will be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. Matthew doesn't quote a specific Old Testament prophecy here. It's likely that he's looking at a pattern instead. One of the possible explanations that's been suggested is being fulfilled here. It comes from Isaiah 11:1-5, and it also is found in Jeremiah and Zechariah, where the Messiah is described as a branch. Nazareth comes from the Hebrew word netzer, or branch, which apparently sounds like Nazarene in that language. Another explanation is that people from Nazareth were looked down upon. For example, in John's Gospel, we're told that after Jesus told Philip to follow him, Philip went and found Nathanael. And Nathanael's question was, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Jesus himself was certainly despised and rejected, as was prophesied in Isaiah. Now, there are other prophecies that aren't specifically noted, didn't say as per the prophet, or as in fulfillment of the prophet. But some are tied to the fact that Jesus was born of the seed of a woman, that he was the Son of God, that he had the proper lineage, that he'd be given gifts. Regarding prophecies about Jesus' lineage, although we didn't go through the first verses of Matthew chapter 1, were fulfilled. If Jesus didn't have the right lineage, he wasn't qualified to be who he was. He wouldn't be the one whom the prophet spoke about. So we won't go into all those various prophecies, but suffice to say, he fulfilled ones requiring to be from the seed of Abraham. He's from the son of Isaac, the son of Jacob, from the tribe of Judah, from the family line of Jesse, and from the house of David. So when was Jesus born? I noted earlier that if God thought it was important for us to know this specific date, he would have included it in his word. I would suggest that the right answer to the question, when was Jesus born, is when God decided the time was right. The Apostle Paul wrote this, "But when the fullness of the time came, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons and daughters. Because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." As an aside, this passage also points to prophecies regarding Jesus being born of the seed of a woman and being the Son of God, doesn't it? As we read, Simeon had been waiting to see the Anointed One. Although we didn't read it, there was a prophetess named Anna who served with fasting and prayers in the temple for many years. And all this came about, all this was done, and all is done in God's perfect timing. The Romans had brought relative peace to the area. They had created a road system that made travel easier. There was a common language in the area now. And many outside Israel had heard and believed in a single God. This was the time. The time was right. During this season of Advent, we're encouraged to reflect on the coming or arrival of Jesus, the time he came and was born, and we're also encouraged to reflect on his coming again and live in anticipation of that time when he's going to return again. What does it mean to be adopted as God's son or daughter? It's hard to wrap one's head around that, isn't it? The creator and sustainer of the universe calls us his own. You're loved. You're treasured by God, the God of the universe. Wow. Isn't that amazing? God knew, though, that we're all going to sin and need redemption. And as we've seen, he had it all worked out long before we were ever born. Apostle Paul wrote this, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us." Because of his great love. "Even when we were dead in our wrongdoings, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the boundless riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, through faith. This is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." A gift of God, not a result of work, so that one may boast. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." We live in challenging times, don't we? Perhaps you're among those who find Christmas a bit of a difficult time for one reason or another. Loss of a loved one. Challenging dynamics in the family or among friends. Cost of living going out of control. A feeling that nobody cares. God cares, though, and he's ready to walk with you, ready to walk alongside of you. Maybe there's some things in the past that you just can't let go of and that are keeping you from accepting this gift. You don't feel you deserve God's forgiveness or love. If so, I'm here to tell you otherwise. Or maybe all is going well and your calendar is filled with festive events. Whatever our situation, it's important that we put God first in all things and let that influence the way we see and deal with other things in life. In closing, the matter is that God loves us. The whole world, so much so that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. What an amazing, incredible gift. And this includes forgiveness of our sin, a relationship with Jesus, access to God's Holy Spirit, God's peace and comfort in troubling times, eternity in God in heaven one day. And it's my prayer that nobody go through this Christmas season without accepting this amazing gift. The one born in Bethlehem, the house of bread, the one who is the bread of life. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I don't know if you can read the writing on that or not. If you can't, it says, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. On behalf of Linda and me, I'd like to wish each of you a very Merry Christmas, filled with reminders of the love of our Savior Jesus. May God richly bless you.
We thank you, Father, that we can rejoice together of this one who was born in Bethlehem years ago, but who lives in our lives today if we follow him, and who lives for us, interceding for us. We thank you for his life, for his death, for his resurrection, and for all that you have planned and brought forth. In him we pray. Amen.
And thank you for listening. Come back next week for the next Sunday morning message from Bible Fellowship Assembly. Visit us on the web at bfa.church, where you will find our physical address and contact information. We'd love to see you if you're in the Timmins area, or drop us a line at info@bfa.church. Until next time.